reality. All right, let's go over this stuff and see what we've got. Atman, real self, eternal life principle. That's a decent definition. Okay? Now, reduce this to one thing, a person's spiritual essence. It's a four-letter word. What is it? Soul. Whose soul? Whose soul? I'll give you the whole phrase. A person's spiritual essence. Whose soul? Yours. Okay? Now, there's a link between this and this. Ultimate reality. Alright? Now, in this religion, in this philosophy, is ultimate reality physical or is it spiritual?
Spiritual.
Bingo. Okay? So, here's what we've got. Have you ever done Venn diagrams in mathematics, those ovals? Okay, it's like a Venn diagram. Watch. I'm going to make a big one, or big in the space we've got. I'm going to make a little one. All right, now, which one is the Atman?
The little one.
The little one. And this is the Brahman. Okay? Now, here's the idea. Each of our souls is part of
ultimate reality,
which is a supersized soul which governs what? Think big.
Religion.
Everything. Everything. The whole universe. The whole cosmos. Got it? Cosmos means universe, guys. Alright? That's what it is. Alright? So your individual soul is part of this big universal soul. Got it? Alright, now, teaching is a virtue and principle, right? Good. The right path. The moral law. Alright? Righteousness. Do the right thing. All that stuff that you've heard of? That's Dharma. Okay. Now, let's play a trick with this. Karma. By your will, all life's actions, good or bad, which determine one's rebirth or death? Well, yeah. Reduce that whole phrase to one word. What would it be?
Repetition.
Yeah, that's a possibility. It's more than that, though.
Morality.
I can't see.
It has something to do with it. You're close, but you're not quite there.
Life.
Here's
value.
Here's the kicker.
Fate.
Bingo.
What?
It's your fate. Or if you want a three-syllable word for it, try destiny. All right? But get this. All right? Karma. Karma is like Mrs. Hurst. Okay? Actions have
consequences.
Bingo. That's karma. Bad action?
Bad consequences.
Bad
karma.
Bingo. Good action?
Good karma.
Yippee. Okay. There we go. Alright, samsara, alright? You go to Atlantic City, you gamble at the roulette wheel. Round and round, where around it goes, where it stops, nobody knows. Alright, now, rebirth of one soul until one is released. And this is really pretty good because here's the idea. Here's the idea. Alright? This is different from the Abrahamic religions. This is different from Judaism. This is different from Christianity. This is different from Islam. Because in those three religions, how many lives do you have?
One.
That's it. That's all you've got. You get to this part of the world, how many lives do you have?
Many.
Many. Could be infinite. All right? A whole slew of them. All right? That's why you get rebirth. All right? Can't have rebirth unless you have more than one life. Okay? Ever hear this word? Reincarnation? All right? What do you think reincarnation means?
It's when you're reborn.
That's right. You come back in bodily form. And this is why it's bodily. This central part of the word, karna, is from the Latin, which means flesh or meat. You come back in physically. After you die. Got it? Come back in a way everybody can see you, smell you, touch you, hear you, the whole business. Alright? So, a good thing, or is it a bad thing, or is it both?
Both.
Excellent. Explain. Who said that? Go. All right.
Well, like, it's good because you technically never, like, not live.
Yeah,
like,
well,
there's always, like...
That's right. You never die because the real you is what? Body or soul?
Soul.
It's, that's right. Soul's immortal. You never die. Okay?
And it's bad because, like, you can be a real asshole and, like, it'll just keep coming
back.
Yeah,
keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. You want to keep doing that over and over again? Not necessarily. All right? It's also good because if you screw up in one life, what do you get? You get another chance. Okay?
But do you remember that you...
No, you don't. It's all wide open.
He remembered because he was like a 6-year-old and he knew all these like flights from kids, from guys, from this certain guy.
Yeah.
He knew like this whole guy's life story who he had never met.
Right.
And had never even read a book about him.
Yeah, I know. There are stories of that sort. All right? But in this... In this idea, there's no guarantee that you're going to remember.
Yeah.
You know, the risk is that you start totally fresh, clean slate. Okay? Now, the word for release is moksha. You're going to need that later on. Okay? Now, this is great. Yoga, Hindu exercise which promotes journey to union with Brahman. Okay? Good. I'm going to finish that off. That is good. That is good. Because here's what you're beginning to figure out. Is this physical exercise, spiritual exercise, or both?
Where?
What do you think? You're absolutely right. It is both. Now, what's the point of uniting spiritual exercise and physical exercise? Why does this philosophy preach yoga? And incidentally, one who practices yoga is named after an old-time catcher for the New York Yankees. He used to be around in the 1950s.
Yogi Berra.
Yogi, yeah. One who practices yoga is a yogi. Okay? So what's the point of having this blended physical-spiritual exercise?
It's all balanced.
Yeah? So that you end up with, and you've got it down here, journey to? Okay. You become at one with this ultimate reality. You become a piece of it. You achieve the ideal state. All right? Which is going to be this Hindu, Buddhist, Jain equivalent of what Christians would call heaven. Only what's the magic word for this ideal state? Anybody know? Starts with the letter N.
Nirvana.
Do that, you've got to achieve enlightenment because that's the only way you're going to get out of this. All right? Get the idea? Any questions at this point? All right? Now, for those of us of European ancestry, do you see how this is different? The assumptions about life and death and destiny are totally different from what people raised in my cultural traditions, which are European, are used to. Okay. We clear on this? Let's go to the next one. All right. I have Khyber Pass up here for a reason. Because what you're going to find out when you study Indian history is that almost all the time, bad news comes from the Northwest. All right. You all hear of Afghanistan? Okay. Here's India, here's Pakistan, here's Afghanistan. Here's the Khyber Pass, it's right here. Guess where the Aryans came roaring through? Bingo, from here, through here, pounding on the Indus Valley and the rest of India. It all at once or in slow degrees? Yeah, the whole process took 1,000 years to finish. All right, so in come the Aryans. Don't think much of the Dravidians. That's the name they gave for the people who were left of what earlier civilization that we did yesterday?
Harappa.
Harappa, okay? Came from the outside, came from Central Asia, conquered slowly, bit by bit, more than one leader. Yeah, once they took over the country, how did they start treating each other? They fought among themselves, quarrelsome bunch. All right, glorified military skill and heroism. By the way, who had the better weapons? Was it the audience or the Dravidians? Yeah. First, better bronze, and then by around 1000 BC, you have it. What were they packing? They were packing iron. Good. Excellent. Elitist society, that's where we're going to get into the caste system, follows logically. Racist towards indigenous people, which means the Dravidians who were there before them. Collection of tribes fought with each other, conquered over centuries. Really good military technology. Not only better swords, but they came in riding on these war wagons that we call what?
Chariots.
There you go. Okay, cool. You got it. All right, on to the next one. Caste system, Indian names. All right, society was divided into four you don't know how to spell hierarchical, but you do know how to handle the word strata pretty well. All right, let's see what we can do about hierarchical. This looks like hierarchical. I don't know. Who's heard of hierarchical? Did you hear that? All right, here's how it works. Hierarchical. I know, you just don't like those extras. All right, this is Greek and Latin. The word stratum, which is, anybody take Latin?
Yeah.
You know neuter?
Yes.
Neuter singular is U-M. Neuter plural is A. So this is a plural, and it means layer, right? Okay, that's Latin. Hierarchical, this comes largely from ancient Greek. And you see this A-R-C-H syllable in there? It talks about who's the boss. Got it? You know, arch enemy, like a chief enemy. Archbishop, chief bishop, get it? The boss, Bruce Springsteen. All right? Okay, hierarchical strata, four of them. Didn't need to marry people in different strata. This is true. It was true even here. When kids from South India, South Asia, India, Pakistan, particularly India, first showed up in this school, if they were from different castes, right in this school, according to the teachers who were here, they didn't talk with each other. They didn't sit down with each other or lunch or eat with each other. All right? Brahman, or you can spell it with an I, either way, are the priests. The Kshatriya, good, you got that. The Vaishya, the merchants, and the Shudra. Purpose was to organize society, outcast people who were lost caste status through violations and rituals. This is true. This took about 1,000 years to be a distinct group. But get this, outcasts. See how we get our word in English? All right, and try this. There's another word for them that we use. And this is from Hindi, the name Indian language, pariahs. All right? So despised that we don't even do what? Look at my hand. Yeah. So what's another word for that? Untouchables. Yeah. All the same thing. All right? The ones who do all the dirty work. Okay? So, Aryans, Dravidians. Who's in the higher castes? Who's in the lower castes? Sure. So, what's the whole point of this caste system, which is 3,500 years old and still operates in India today?
Put people down that you're against.
Yes. So you can do what with them?
Conquer them.
And control them. Exactly. It's a system of political and social control. Now, according to the Aryans, who commanded the existence of this caste system?
Some god.
Yeah! And you know that right away, because what's the highest caste of the bunch?
Priests.
So the Aryans come banging in and saying, this system is sacred. Why do you think they would say that? Particularly to the Dravidians, why do you think they would say that? What's the whole point of saying that? Our system of organizing you is holy. Don't mess with it. Why are they saying that?
Keep them obedient.
Keep them obedient, yeah. Mess with the caste system, that's bad karma. You don't want that. Okay? So, Nice job. All right, now we have a very, very difficult job with the last group because somehow we've got to translate textbook ease into English. All right.
We did.
They were record speculations about the mystical meaning of sacrificial rites and cosmological questions of man's relationship to the universe. Oh! In plain English, what does that mean? Could somebody enlighten me, please? I'm getting very bad karmic vibrations from this. Yes?
Religious teachings?
Yeah. Upanishads to Hindu tradition, Brahmanist Hindu tradition, are like what to Judaism and Christianity?
The Bible.
Yeah, that's right. They're the sacred literature. And they start out, by the way, with a bunch of epic adventure stories about how neat the Aryan invasion of India was. And those epic adventures are called the Rig Vedas, which lead to the Upanishads. Oh, we conquered India. Why did we do that? What's the meaning of all that? That gets answered in the Upanishads. What do they reveal? Sacrificing to the gods. All right. Good and evil, karma, dharma, the whole teaching. All right, now, let's get back to the caste system. In the caste system, where do you think the power alliance is? Between what groups?
Warriors and priests.
Bingo. Excellent. And it keeps going, and unifying in the history of politics around the world, that those who are the priests and those who are the warriors and officials will often make power alliances with each other, no matter what culture they come from. And I want you to try to figure out why. Why would they do it? What do the priests need from the warriors, and what do the warriors need from the priests? Go, Garrett.
The priests have religious control, and they can basically rule by fear, and the warriors can enforce it with basically brute force.
Yeah. All right. The priests are going to say that everything these guys do is what?
It's right.
Not only right.
It's recommended by the gods.
Not only right, recommended by the gods, and therefore what? Give me a four-letter word for it. If it's blessed by the gods, it's what?
Holy.
It's holy. All right? Now, as you pointed out, Garrett, then what are the priests getting from these warriors and
protection.
Officials in return?
Protection.
Protection. Muscle. Right? Like you said, they're the enforcers. All right? Now, since it's lasted, this caste system, for 3,500 years, and we still have some version of Brahmanism, which is kind of Hinduism before Hinduism, it's going to evolve into Hinduism. And since there are hundreds of millions of Hindus in the world, all right, there are about 750 million Hindus. This is a pretty big religion. We know something about this must have worked. Do you think it's going to work perfectly? Do you think everybody involved in this system is necessarily going to like it? What do you think? It's our last thought of the day, yeah. No, why not?
Because if you are like born into a lower caste system, there's no way you can do anything to like get out. You have pretty much of like no hope of moving up.
Okay, and my friends, that's what sets up day three. Got it? And we're going to see the coming of two new religions to India. One's Jainism, and the other, which is really, really big, is Buddhism. See the connection? And so it's the day three that we're going to return next time. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, guys.